Mercy Radio. I'm Ellen White, your host, where we highlight individuals that put their faith into action. Today, I'll be speaking with the authors of Teaching Teens to Fail, the five-step field guide to parenting success, Alan Migliorato and Daryl Dezek. The entire retreat was well-planned, well-organized, very impactful, such a unique, fun, difficult, exhausting experience that everyone enjoyed immensely. Adventure Catholic was exactly what I was searching for. This was not what the students were anticipating, not the same old tired approach to trying to bring their faith to life, but Adventure Catholic gave them experiences that demonstrated their faith in a way they could connect and acknowledge. It wasn't being spoken at them, it was being uncovered from within them. We will definitely be booking Adventure Catholic again. And there are students who asked me about attending the summer four-day camping retreat. Again, thank you and your team for a truly unique and amazing day. That was a quote from Audrey, a director of religious education, about the training method that is utilized in Alan and Daryl's book. Hi, guys.
Hi, Ellen.
What a great book, and what wonderful insights I've gained as a parent. Oh my gosh, I have so many questions and comments about your book and your training method. Again, the book is entitled Teaching Teens to Fail, a five-step field guide to parenting success. First, tell me a little bit about yourselves, your backgrounds, and how you came to be involved in youth ministry. Alan, how about you go first?
Well, sure. I'm involved with youth ministry with Daryl, actually. He's the pastor at St. Mary Magdalene in Altamont Springs, and I'm certified in youth ministry through the University of Dayton. With Daryl, we founded Adventure Catholic Formation Training, which is what you're talking about, the COPEC method, teaching teens to fail. That's all under the umbrella of Adventure Catholic.
Okay. Now, how about you, Daryl?
But basically, I've been in full-time ministry for about 17 years. Everything from education in Catholic schools, and basically, at the end of the day, we were talking about, Alan, you know, got on a core team, we're just brainstorming some ideas and trying to figure out a way to, you know, impact our young people. And we looked at the landscape of the nation, and there's a lot of great retreats and conferences that address Renewing the Vision, which is their framework for youth ministry, and they have three different goals. So we look at those goals, and there's many, many things that cover the first two, but none that cover the third goal, which is the overall well-being of the child. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at these life skills, and we brought our personal experiences together, formulated just maybe we'll try something. We basically tried Petri dish. And for the last 8 years, we've been, you know, just playing with it and refining it and honing it. And, you know, it's like, wow, all of a sudden people are realizing, or we're seeing great results. So it's kind of been a great experiment, but just with the desire to really more effectively reach our teens.
So how, through those experiences that you had early on, how did that help you to recognize that there was a great need to form youth leaders? What was lacking? What did you see that brought you to the point where you said, we need to develop this program that's going to really help teens to be leaders?
From a youth ministry standpoint,
what we did is when we started Adventure Catholic, we said, what are we trying to solve? Mm-hmm. What problem is there that we're trying to solve? Because we can go camping, that's great. We can put on a parish mission, awesome. But what are we really trying to do? Mm-hmm. And so Daryl and I were talking, what's the biggest problem facing the youth of the church today? And it's the loss of our youth in the church. So between the ages of 16 to 23, there's a lot of kids in their young adults, teens in that group. That's the biggest portion of what we, when we lose children with the church, they become inactive, they become disengaged. And so we said, what can we do? Why is it happening? The reason that we came up with, and a lot of it is thanks to Daryl, because he deals, you know, he's dealt with teens for a long time. And what he sees is they are told what to do up until confirmation. And then they're said, okay, you're on your own. But they've never been given an opportunity to really be a leader. You know, and a lot of leadership camps tell you how to lead. I mean, how is that really leadership? If you're told how to lead, you're a good follower. If you're given an opportunity to actually lead and fail and fix the failure, now you're a leader. And so we figured if we could make teens leaders,
yeah,
and really understand leadership, and it's not only understand it, but like Daryl says,
to be
immerse
be
them, yeah, experience it, then we don't have to worry about it. Then they're they're traveling on their own course, and it's all focused on God.
Yeah.
But, you know, actually, as you, thanks for that jog my memory. One of the things that Alan was talking about is the leadership. And we looked at, as he was talking, we're talking about tilling the soil and the concept of spreading the seeds, you know, the parable that Jesus always talks about, spreading seeds, tilling the soil. And when we first started, you know, we look at the problem of the big drop off right after high school, and the big gap of the kids who leave the church. And I was results driven, and Alan's really results driven. It's like, you know, how do we save these kids? And what this has actually turned into is not so much getting results, but a better way to till the soil. That's all this is. It's a better way to we're either sharpening the hose and the tools and the rakes, and we're tilling the soil more effectively, more efficiently, and for today's day and age. We can't guarantee results. Only God sets that up. But we can make sure that the soil is tilled to the best way possible for today's climate. And that's kind of really what we've been doing, is how do we effectively till this soil? So, you know, just let that Holy Spirit take root. And one of the little girls, I mean, the quote was in there, I believe. I think it was the first chapter. Rachel said, you know, her Catholic school told her that she needed to be a leader. She should be a leader. But Adventure Catholic showed her how. Mm-hmm. And we immerse them. We let them lead. How do you do it? How do you evangelize? By evangelizing. How do you play piano? By playing piano. I mean, it's a simple life lesson. How did Michael Jordan be great at basketball? He played basketball. Right. So you lead. And we kind of help them. We coach them in their leadership.
Yeah, practice, practice, practice. I love the quote by St. John Paul the Great that you had in the front of the book, "Life with Christ is a wonderful adventure." It really sets the tone for Adventure Catholic, and I think that's a great way to start. Okay, so with the COPEC system that you've been talking about, you've said it's a leadership training method, and what I can see, it's been pretty effective. And from my own experience as a parent, I've done things naturally that are in the book, not consistently. And I think that by understanding what they are, it would be very easy to implement. And we'll get to the basics of it. But so COPEC is an acronym for various steps, and this, the five step. And we'll go through each one and talk about different things that you pointed out in the book that relate to each step. So I assume the book was written because you'd witnessed firsthand the success of the training method. Would that be an accurate statement?
Yeah, and failure. I mean, we did the old method as we were doing it. As we were putting these on, and of course, mind you, this, I would say over the first 5 years it took us to be able, we could articulate this. It's kind of like the church, though, right? We have the experience and then we theologize it. So we went through the experience and then we kind of found ourselves actually doing each step, and we reflected on the experience and started going, oh my gosh, this is kind of the method. This is the recipe. So it was born out of our personal experience as we were putting them through an experience.
There are a lot of people though that are very numbers driven. And for those people, what we can show on paper is unbelievable results. So if you think of the groups that we just talked about earlier, that 16 to 23 age group, we are losing, the church loses about 82% in that age range. Well, only 18% stay connected with the church at some level until they get into their 40s, right? Mm-hmm. So on our numbers that we have proof for show that we have an 87% retention ratio with the kids that have gone through Adventure Catholic training. But it's more than just a four-day experience. We have our book.
Culture.
We have our book, Teaching Teens to Fail, and we're changing a culture. But we can't change it ourselves. Jesus was able to do anything, but he still had 12 apostles that not only became leaders, but they created more leaders. And that's what we're asking people to do. Through our method is not just, hey, get Alan and Daryl to come to your parish and they're going to solve everything for you. We are not saviors by any means. Jesus is. And we keep pointing people back to Jesus. Keep your focus on God. But what does that mean? Does that mean just go to confession every time you mess up? Yes. And it means that your parents and the teachers out there who are the first catechists at home and at school, they need this method. Mm-hmm. They need to use this method and implement it. And it's so uncomfortable. As you go through these chapters, you're going to unleash how this is not a happy, comfortable thing at all times. But it's not comfortable when someone gives birth either. But look at the beautiful result.
Yeah.
If it's focused on God, will always yield benefits.
Right.
That's what I want to make sure that we get that across, is because we have a lot of people, hey, can you come fix this problem at our church?
Nope.
Well, we can come to your church and we can train you, but it's up to you to fix this problem.
But, you know, and one of those things is that, again, our teens have been through this here, have the benefit of being involved in our youth ministry program. So that's kind of the other hitch. We get to continue to build the culture, create the culture. So the kids that, you know, once they go on it, we see them. If I see them around the parish, we can still talk about it. I say you're an Adventure Catholic kid, and they have an idea of what that means. There's a higher level expectation. Now, again, do all of them stay? No, but what does that mean? They may go off to college and have the college experience, but when they're here, there's a stronger connection to the church than they would have had before. And we want them to always walk away knowing they're an Adventure Catholic team. They've been through the teachings. They've been through the training, and that's changed their lives. I mean, we want that to have changed their lives.
So. Yeah, I think, like you've said, Alan and Daryl, it's important to bring together the fact that they're being trained not only to be good leaders, but also to understand what their role is in the church. And when you bring those two together and learn how to be an intentional disciple when you go out, it's such a beautiful, freeing experience. Well, let's go into the different steps. And as we get through that, we'll understand what you mean by on how it can be uncomfortable, not only for the teen, but also for the parent or the teacher or whoever is going through this process. Because I think that, and I would really like to do a study on when it happened that we felt like we needed to take failure away from our children. And not, because I think that there was a time when they just had to experience it and they were allowed to fail and they had these and grew from them. So that's another show entirely, I think.
That would be an interesting topic to do some research on, because we don't know when it happened. We're just dealing with the fact that it's happened.
Right.
Growing up, and I didn't even know that a trophy came with a number 2 on it until, you know, I was handing out trophies as a coach one time for, you know, for the team that I was coaching. And it's like, everybody got the same trophy? I mean, why did we have a tournament? You're kidding. Like, everybody got the same trophy. How do you know who won? And I was coaching in CYL one time, and they were like, oh, we're not going to keep score anymore. And I was like, you're kidding. Why wouldn't we keep score for the soccer game? Well, we don't want to hurt the other team's feelings. Dear God, God forbid that we let them know that they didn't perform better than somebody else. And so it's this really very thin-skinned in, you know, society. And you know who falls into this sometimes? Our pastors. As they fall into this and they're afraid to speak the truth. And I know, like, sometimes we get people go, oh, he didn't say that. And it's like, I did, because they're afraid to speak the truth. They soften the message that they're giving their congregation, and they wonder why they're losing people at the church.
Right.
You know, if you're the membership, if your congregation is getting smaller and smaller, maybe we need to speak the truth more often out of love. And we show how to do that. We can't change that message.
Speak the truth. And we'll get to that part about the grandmother with baking cookies. I think that's a great story, and it really speaks to that about speaking the truth. So let's back up a little bit and we'll go through each step. And what I like about the book and how you set up each step is you have various experiences with each step, insights that you offer, a think about it section, which, talk about uncomfortable. There was one of them that had some questions that really went to me. So with the first one, C for challenge in COPEC, what happens in this stage? Talk about instructions that you give maybe in the retreat, or how to utilize it as a parent. What's the challenge stage?
Basically, in challenge, the concept is really set up to model real life as opposed to the education system. Having worked in education, you know, we teach the kids all the things that they should know, and then we test them on it. Life isn't like that. Life gives you the test, and then if you learn something, you do. If you don't, well, then that's up to you. And the people who don't learn something tend to not be successful in life, and the ones that do tend to kind of rise to the top. So we model it after real life, and we say, here's your test or a challenge. And at home, we said, you know, it could be mowing the lawn. You know, you could say that could be a challenge. Mow the lawn. All right, and here's the lawnmower. Now, aside from safety issues, you know, you instruct your kid, and I have a son, and like, hey, this is how you start it. We'll go through all those mechanics, but the lawn needs to be done, and assuming everything's safe, go get it done. And so that's the challenge, and I want it done by the end of, you know, by 7 o'clock Saturday night, you know, and it's Friday, so you have 2 days to get it done. So that's kind of what we do with the kids. I mean, we do it more of a, in a I guess, more engaging and fun manner than chores. But with the kids out there, we give them a challenge. Like, this is what you got to do. Now, they get to decide how they want to do it, how many people on their team they want to involve. You know, do they want breaks? They get to figure it out. And we just step back and watch. And that's the most interesting part of it all, because we see in their heads, they don't really believe that they're leading. They are starting to ask us questions. And, you know, and I'm like, well, hold on.
Yeah, they start and then they're like,
Can we do this? I'm like, I don't know. You're the leader.
Can we do it?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you? Why are you asking me? You're the leader. So the challenge is just to say, here's what you got to accomplish. Go. No parameters aside from safety. I mean, really, we're only there to make sure they're not safe. It's like, don't swim with the alligators. Don't play with the, you know, the venomous snakes, and no knives. You know,
something really interesting that happens when we actually do our immersive, our 4-day retreat, is that the kids that have been on it already, Adventure Catholic Retreat, they can ask us, they have to write an essay and all kinds of hoops basically for them to make sure that they want to do this, but they can actually apply to be a leader for like the actual retreat the next year. So the whole retreat, we've been doing it for 9 years. The whole retreat is run by the teams that have gone through it. And I mean run by. So we go buy food.
That's my favorite.
They buy food. They buy all the food. So if we get asked questions like, and they know by now not to ask us these questions, but if we get questions like, is this enough or should I get more? Our answer always is, are you leading or am I leading?
I mean, we give them a budget. We say, look, you know, here's
of course.
You know, here's $500 for the weekend or whatever it is. And you got to feed 25 kids. So many, they plan the meals. So, you know, we don't do any of that. And my favorite story is this is, Alan took them and they decided that for breakfast, they were going to buy 8 watermelons, 6 to 7 gallons of orange juice and 2 gallons of milk. 2 gallons of whole milk for cereal. And Alan's like, okay, do you have everything you need? Yeah, we're fine. Okay. Well, we get out there after the first day, the 2 gallons of milk are gone and they're coming. It's like, hey, can we run to the store? Like, no, you can't. We're out here. We can't run to the store. Well, we're out of milk. Oh, what are you gonna do about it? Now
find a cow.
Start milking. Figure something out. And they're like, well, the people. I said, look, you didn't think about it ahead of time. Figure it out. Well, the rest of the camp had water with the cereal and orange juice with the cereal, and there was watermelon with every breakfast. And everybody was fine. Nobody starved. But they realized that their behavior now, in their lack of planning or their lack of knowledge or whatever it is, it wasn't wrong. I mean, maybe they just never fed 30 people for breakfast. They realized that their behavior impacts others now for the first time. And you know what? We can't go fix it. And we could run to the store. I could jump in my car. We're not here to save you. Right. This is the situation you created. Mm-hmm. You know, you could have bought 100 gallons of milk. We wouldn't have had that problem.
Yeah, and I really like it, what you said about this section in the book, that it's not so much about what they did when they realized that they didn't have enough milk. It's how they handled that failure, how they reacted to it. And you said they were able to move on with that. So that's what makes them the real leaders is, okay, you're right. We didn't get enough. So we move on. We have what we have and we move on. And then they learn the next time, oh, we're going to need more than just 2 gallons of milk for the weekend.
And you know, wouldn't you know it, those kids that were there, they've been on our leadership for the next couple of years. We haven't had that same problem. So
the natural instinct is to look to an adult for, I have a problem. Can you fix this? You know, and I remember years ago coaching a team where, I mean, I probably had third or fourth graders and I had a mom come up to me at halftime curious because I wasn't making her kid drink water. And I said, why? You're mad at me because your son isn't drinking water. I said, I want to make sure I understand why you're mad. Is that why you're angry? She said, yes. And I said, well, do you make him drink water at home? She goes, well, no, he knows where the refrigerator is. And I said, well, I'm sure he can see the cooler. I mean, if he saw it, he's in fourth grade, he probably needs to go get something to drink. You can't feed him all the time. And the only way that they're going to learn is by falling and figuring out what part of the ladder rung broke.
Okay, so moving on in the COPEX system to O, and that's for observe. What happens in this stage?
So this is the hardest. I want to say this is the hardest part for parents and teachers. So you did challenge. Now we're at observe. Let me give you an example. Like I just told you, we have a SALT team. It's the servant and leadership team. That's the team of kids that come back the following year. So we go buy all the supplies that they need, and the kids are going shopping, and they're walking by, and they got. I said, you know, you guys, you know what to do. So go get whatever you need. Now they came by us, and my wife was looking in the cart, you know, and I said, "Don't say anything." And so as soon as they're out of earshot, she says, "Are you going to tell them to get bug spray?" And I go, "No." You know, and she goes, "What's going to happen?" She's like, their parents are going to be furious. I said, "Their parents understand this whole process because they've gone through this training with us. They have our book. They've gone through this training. They understand they're supposed to be in charge. If we're going to pretend to be in charge and step in every time somebody fails who we love, we're fixing a problem right now." Right? So Daryl uses this right now. Because if you break your arm, right, and you put a Band-Aid on it, maybe it feels better for a few minutes, but it's still broken. You know, it's still a broken arm. So you're not fixing, you're not healing anything. You're not healing that injury. So observe is we just step back and watch.
I mean, really, it comes down to, we're down here in Florida, and we joke about the alligators, but, you know, we say boundaries. Look, it's just safety. That's the only reason. If there's something we think is unsafe, we will step in. But other than that, you know, go, have at it. You know?
And the story I was telling you is when the kids are setting up their, they have to find their tents. They're hidden out there, and they have to set them up. Well, some kid broke his tent pole because he was getting frustrated and never set up a tent before. Okay, so he comes running over to us, and he says, "Look, my tent pole is broken." And I said, "Well, let me see it." I said, "Yeah, it is. That's great. Here you go." And he goes, "Well, what do I do?" And I go, "What do you think you should do? Like, how would you fix this if I wasn't here?" He's like, "Man, I don't know." I go, "Well, when you figure this out, because I have all the faith in the world that you can figure this out, I would like you, just come let me know what you decided." So we have some duct tape that's sitting there that the kids from the SALT team bought. So about 30 minutes later, he comes over. He goes, "Alan," he goes, "you got to come see this tent." He goes, "You're not going to believe it. This whole thing's set up." He goes, "I made that." He's pointing at his tent. He's like, "I made that tent pole." That kid will never forget that he fixed as something as simple as a tent pole, because could I have done it? Absolutely. We had extra tent poles, but I'm not going to give it to him because he needs to figure it out.
I like the way that you turned it into a question, and you were encouraging. You weren't doubting his ability. You were encouraging him.
And that's the key here is, yes, we're not going to give the answer, but we're going to encourage them and tell them, "You're smart enough to figure this out." Mm-hmm. If that was a life or death situation, you wouldn't have even brought that over to me. If you had to fix that tent pole in 5 minutes and you weren't allowed to speak to anybody, I promise you, you would have fixed it. So you can do this. Now go do it. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging. That's what God does to us. If God steps in every time and says, "Listen, you can't do that. You know that you're not supposed to be swearing. You know that you're not supposed to get angry. You know you're not supposed to be short-tempered." Then we don't have free will. So we're giving them free will by observing.
Mm-hmm. I also like that you said that adults tend to unknowingly protect their own egos by wanting the job done right or sparing the young from possible negative feelings associated with perceived failures. There's so many good clues in that sentence. Yeah, protect the ego. They don't want to look bad. Parents don't want to look bad to their peers, maybe, or how it's presented, but they're setting up their kids to fail, either in the short term or in the long term.
Allowing, you know, letting kids try, and by letting them fail, it still inspires them to try. But so the way he questioned this kid was, go for it, and the kid then tried, you know, and he tried, and I don't know how many different tries he had to fix it. We didn't count, we're just whatever. But it's really fostering that spirit of, you know, give it a shot and go for it. And we see this in parents now by coming in, kids are afraid to try because they may not do it right. Well, did the kid, you know, I asked the question, did he fix the pole right? I don't know. I mean, it worked. So they all slept in a tent that night. Was it the right way to tape? I don't know. Was it the right way to cut the tape? Who cares? I mean, but it worked for them, you know?
In the think about it section under observe, the questions were fabulous and really had me thinking. I won't mention them all. You'll have to buy the book. But one that really struck me was, do you help your teens grow spiritually and emotionally by allowing them to make mistakes and learn from them? Or do you stop them before they fall in order to protect them?
That's an important concept, because part of Adventure Catholic is we teach the kids to make small failures so in the real world they don't make or they can avoid life-changing failures. And there's a lot of parents who can read into this being like, oh, you're saying let my kid do whatever and learn. No, 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 no. What we're saying is allow them the small failures so they'll be smart enough to experience it and learn, oh, small failures aren't good, so maybe bigger failures will have worse consequences and they'll avoid them. So it's really setting them up for success by teaching them to avoid and recognizing what are things you can recover from and what are things that really are life-altering.
Mm-hmm. But you know, Ellen, like, here's something else to think about is when you say, you know, what Daryl says, let them make small failures. What's a small failure? Is failing in your science class in high school a small failure? So there are things that fall into that. I just don't know if I should let them fail at that or if I shouldn't let them fail at that. Yes, let them fail. Let them fail. So if you're going to help them do their report, you know, this because they forgot about it and it's due tomorrow and you're running out to Walmart in the middle of the night, are you helping them? I mean, maybe with this one report, but what are they learning from that? And this is where it's uncomfortable for parents because it's like, the teacher's going to think, I just don't care, you know, as a parent. Okay. But if the teacher was on board with this training method, if she was on board with COPEC, she would actually say, don't you step in and do this for them. Let them fail. They'll learn better. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. I promise you, if kids are failing, they get one F and they have consequences at home and at school because of that. They're not going to get two Fs next semester. They're going to get themselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And you just keep encouraging them. Listen, you can do better than this. You're better. Mm-hmm. But Okay. Observe and don't do it.
Yeah. So that's observe. And now we're moving on to the P in the COPEC system, which is process. What's involved in this stage?
This is Daryl's sweet spot. So I'm going to let Daryl.
Okay.
Basically, it's just walking them through the observations. So go, you know, as we go into Mass, my favorite, the Confiteor in Mass, where we say, I confess to Almighty God and you know, what I have done and what I have failed to do. And that requires that reflective piece, you know, that examination of conscience. And really what that is an examination of conscience and not so much that, but of their behavior and how they did the challenge and just be able to own that stuff. So we, for example, when the kids are out we're doing their challenge and we regroup them back up, we say, okay, you know, how do you think you did? And we start the question and ask, I think I did pretty good or not good. And who were they a successful leader? And some people are like, kinda, well, what does that mean? And then we make them say specific, well, Susie wasn't loud enough. I couldn't hear her. And so, well, Susie, do you agree with that? Well, yeah, I guess I was. Or no, I don't. Or I don't know. Well, if you didn't know. So we want them just to be able to objectively look at themselves and say, I did, or no, I didn't do it, without judgment, you know. And then we ask them, well, what would you do better next time? You know, was it effective? Was it ineffective? So really, it's being able to just walk with them through those steps of self-examination and also receiving criticism, constructive criticism from each other, and then from us. And that is a process because that's very highly emotional. Kids interpret things. Some are not used to being called out or criticized or even looking at themselves. And it's very, very difficult. So it is a process, but that's what we call it, that moving them from this is what I did to let's reflect on the experience. And then later on, well, we'll get to the evaluation later, but just to own what you did or did not do, according to what you saw or other people saw.
We get blamed at the camp for, like, we put an give them an obstacle to do. We give them a challenge. Then we step back and observe. And so we'll give you like the one we talk about in the book is we do a plank walk with the kids. And when they step off, they have to start over. It doesn't matter how far they are in the process. They have to go like 100 yards or 200 yards and then turn around and come back, all without touching the grass. This is just one of the things that we do. If they step off, you know, they have to keep starting over. And so we've had that event last 8 hours. I mean, it's gone all day. And it's funny because we know exactly when they're going to start getting angry. We know exactly when, you know, they're going to have fun with it and they're going to think it's not a big deal. And so we use perspective, you know, a lot. And when we're all done and we're processing with them and we're talking to them about it and we're saying, so you're angry with me. I just want to understand, because we ask a lot of questions, to be honest with you. That's how Jesus taught. He asked questions and let people figure it out. So we ask some great questions. Daryl's great at this. So we want to understand. We just really want to understand. You're angry with me because you stepped off the board, which caused you to have to start over. Is that right? And some kids will go, yeah. Okay. Now I want you to repeat it back to me and just say it out loud. And they're like, I'm angry with you because I stepped. Oh, You know, it's like, I see.
And that's process. That takes 30 kids. I mean, we're doing it with 30 kids, so it takes a while. But that's why we're effective. We're investing the time and energy into doing that.
Well, that's it. That's it. You touched on that. The time. You got to take the time, and you got to be consistent with it. It kind of goes along with what you were talking about, what happened in the adventure retreat. But talk a little bit about the communication issue that came up, if you remember it or not. The incident that occurred with the leader and the team members not really talking to each other. So,
but you know where it happens most is with adults. Like people that have a regular job, they have a break room. Somebody's going to leave something dirty, and instead of saying, I know who did this, I'm going to go pull them aside and say, hey, can you mind not leaving this like this? Like, it's a mess, and it's going to bring roaches and on and on. Instead, what do adults do? They leave a little note, anonymous.
Whoever
did this, please don't do it again. This is, your mother doesn't work here. Like, something snarky, right? Instead of saying, hey, listen, this is uncomfortable for me, but I want to kind of get this out in the open. You know, and I own a business locally here, a sign company. And I've dealt with customers who come in and they're angry about something, and they'll just say, well, somebody told me. And, sir, exactly what did somebody tell you, and who was it? Because I want to get to the point. I want to make this right for you. That is a learned confronting method where the one that you're talking about is the incident you're talking about is the leader of the team was saying somebody on my team isn't pulling their weight. Well, who is it? Well, I don't want to point them out. Well, the point is, like, how is that going to help get any better? Because if I say one of the three of us right now, Ellen, isn't doing as good a job as the other, right? Okay, well, maybe it's me, but I need to be able to self-reflect and say, Alan, shut up, you're talking too much, or Daryl, quit being so goofy, or Ellen, come on, let's step this up. I mean, I need to be able to say that out of love, you know?
That's right.
Daryl called me out on something a while back, and I'm still working on it, but one of the first things we do at this camp, and you'll love this, one of the very first questions we ask these kids is, Adventure Catholic is about focusing on God. We call it FOG, F-O-G, and speak the truth with love. And so we have to get their commitment and their engagement before we start. So we say, okay, if you agree that you're going to, and they're all sitting down, you know, with crisscrossed with their legs, if you agree that you're going to speak the truth at all times during this 4-day process with us, and that's the only way this is going to work, please stand up. They all stand up, right? Never fails. They're all, yeah, we'll speak the truth. Okay, sit back down. Daryl says, okay, so no matter what we ask you, you're going to speak the truth.
And we throw, you know, I quote St. Paul, that's where Ephesians 4:15, you know, speak the truth and with love. And that's a paraphrase, but, you know, so I give them some Bible and like, look, this is what we're trying to follow right here.
They just really, why,
they get deep. We just, you know, we hammer it in. So then
Daryl will say, who thinks Alan's fat? And if you think Alan's fat, stand up. A forklift could get these kids off the floor. No. I mean, you always get the smart aleck that's like, yeah, he's fat. I could barely get past him. Fine. But Daryl called me out on it a while back. He's like, dude, let me talk to you for a minute. He's like, you need to lose some weight. You know, and I recently have. He's like, I care about you. Here's the key. You need to lose some weight, not because you eclipse me when we're walking next to each other, but because you have a family that I know that you love, and I want you to be healthy for them for a long time. So that being able to speak the truth to somebody lovingly, not Daryl, like, Daryl, you're short, man. You have to get some lifts for your shoes. But Alan, I'm worried about your health because, you know, you're overweight and I care about you. Called me fat. Some people only heard that he called me fat. Some people heard that a good friend cared about me enough to say, I care about your health. How can I help you change it? Mm-hmm. So that right there, that wall is a very hard wall to get through for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything. It's none of my business. Live and let live.
Mm-hmm. And part of that process is, and this ties into the next step of the evaluation, but process is just being able to call things what they are. We're not assigning judgment. We're not even assigning our feelings to it. We're not asking ourselves, how do you feel about that? We're just saying, it is what it is. I mean, that's kind of the Pope said, you know, was it St. John Paul II said, you know, it is what it is on some comment. And people use that all the time. It is what it is. Well, they're not living it. You know, if Alan – He's not built like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he even tells you that. He's hilarious. He goes, so I have an Arnold Schwarzenegger body. I'm a bodybuilder. He goes, what's the stuff in my midsection? Is this muscle? They're like, no. He goes, well, what is it? fat. So I'm fat. Okay. Call it. Well, I don't want to hurt your feelings. We're not worried about that. Call it what it is. You know, Adam did that. That's a giraffe. That's an elephant. God said, go call the things what they are. And that's what they are. So, you know, teaching kids to go back biblically to get to that point.
Well, how does this stage relate to what Jesus did when they returned, when the apostles returned from being sent out? How does this relate? And there's another key point in this stage that you've kind of alluded to, but not really talked about.
You know, Jesus gave them the challenge. Here's what you got to do. You know, go to the houses. If they don't accept you, shake the dust, whatever. So they go out and they have their experience, and then they come back and they're telling Jesus all about it. This is what we did. And he's listening. He's listening. He goes, what did you see? Well, you know, the dead were raised in your name. They were sick, were healed in your name. And we did. And he's like, okay. I mean, you notice in scripture, he didn't say, how do you feel about that? We didn't get that part. It's just, let's go to happen. You know?
But that's right. That's right. So listening is a very, very key component in this process too. Active listening.
We hear all the time, right? We hear noise in the background, but we're not listening to what it is. You can hear a helicopter from far away, but when it gets close and you realize they're searching for somebody in your neighborhood, now you're listening. Now you're listening for every creak in the window, every door that might open in your house. Now it's like, oh my gosh, why is a helicopter over my house? Now we're listening. So you need to actively listen with your teens. So is this what you said? Is this what you mean? I had a great professor at college that said, you guys can argue all day long in my class and I'll grade you for it. And I was like, oh, great. I love this. And he's like, as long as you say the following phrase first. So what you're saying is, and then make sure that you understand what the other person is saying. If that's what they're saying and you still disagree, have at it. But if it's not what they're saying, now you've gained understanding. So we're trying to teach the teens to gain understanding of their surroundings, that it's not focused on them. And the only way to not focus on yourself, right, successfully, is to focus on God effectively.
Very good. Repeat that. Say that again.
The only way not to focus on yourself successfully is to focus on God effectively.
Very good. Very well said. Okay, so let's move on. We could talk for hours, I think. In the COPEX system, the E stands for evaluate. So how is the evaluation done?
It's basically, Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? We'll move kind of quick for you, but we establish the facts and we help our teens accept the facts, then we can say, well, how'd that work for you? Was it successful for you? What would you do differently? What'd you like about it? What'd you like about it? How did you feel about it? And that's really what it is be able to separate what is from how I feel, what I think, you know, where I'm going. And we really just kind of want, once you can break that down, that has moral theology implications as well. It's a whole other talk. But we want the kids to be able to evaluate. Most people jump from their facts to how they feel into judgment. You know, well, I feel angry. I don't. This was not a good experience. It was a bad experience. Well, hold on. Was it a bad experience because you're mad at yourself because your foot fell off the board and touched? And once we can start, once we can teach the kids to think about that, right, things become much more clear. And then it's also easier to teach the teachings of the church because now they can be angry about what the church teaches on marriage because it's a man with a woman. They're angry because we're not – slow down. What are the facts? The facts are the church says marriage is between a man and a woman. That's the facts. They're not speaking anything else. They're not saying anything else. They're just saying that. And so you're angry that the church says that marriage is between a man and a woman? You're angry about that. Well, because they won't let. Hold on. They didn't say they won't let. They just said this is what marriage is. There's a definition there. It's like saying a triangle. So you're angry that the church says a triangle. I use the church, but you're angry that we say a triangle is three angles and three sides. And you want it to also include four sides and four angles as well as the three. Well, no, it's different. No, hold on. Let's just call what is a triangle. Now, how do you feel about a triangle? You know, are triangles effective? I mean, and we just kind of use super stupid ideas to help them to get to see that sometimes the way they interpret their experience is really not the best way to go about doing it.
Right.
Well, that's perfect. And I can share with you, like we talked about earlier, the buying 8 watermelons and 2 gallons of orange juice for 4 days camping. Well, so the next year when the SALT team is getting ready to go to go buy food, they're like, hey, I mean, I hear this. I'm observing. I'm not speaking. Shocking, but I'm not speaking. And I hear these kids saying, hey, remember last year we had way too much orange juice, way too little milk. So let's make sure that we don't do that again this year. Now, that's very different than saying, don't buy that. Don't buy only 2 gallons of milk because you're going to run out. Next year, they're like, how many gallons of milk should I buy? So they weren't able to reflect on their experience. And I love how Daryl uses we give them an experience and let them learn a lesson, you know, idea. Because that's what we do. And in a lot of schools today, you're told what to do and you're expected to gain experience from a teaching. Life isn't like that. Life is backwards. We have an experience. We learn from it. That's what happens when we're adults. I don't have enough money to go out and shoot pool with my friends this weekend. So now what? Well, I rob a bank or I don't go, you know, or beg for money on the corner or I don't go. You can't do it. So figure out how to do it next weekend.
So tell me, do the teens like the evaluations that you give?
Well, they're giving themselves again, we ask questions.
Right.
We're not saying you did a great job. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just saying, how do you think that went? What would you do different? What do you think was the most effective thing that you did? What do you think was the least effective thing? What will you do different next time and why? Why
would you do the same? What would you do the same?
What would you do the same? But why would you do it the same?
Are they receptive to the constructive criticism or the questions, I guess, that you're asking?
In the process part of this, yes. But again, you don't learn to fly a plane in one day. You know, I mean, it takes time. And so, like, they have to learn. Remember, we're dealing with kids that are anywhere from 14 up to 18 or 19 at points. They've got 14 years of their parents drilling in their head and their teachers and everybody they know telling them what's right and wrong. They ought to know by now. And so we're finding out if they do. So again, we can't be the next person that tells them, hey, you know, that's not the right thing to do. They have to know by now.
How does this relate to Jesus and his teachings for us?
Can you rephrase the question?
In the
evaluation stage. So when we are having experiences in life and we feel like we could learn theologically from Jesus and his teachings when he walked the earth, how could we learn from what he did as a leader and interpret it in our own way?
I think that he did that. He didn't hover over everybody. He said, go out and preach the gospel, making disciples of all nations. He didn't say, make sure you let me know exactly what you're going to say. You know, when they came back, he's like, how'd it go? You know, how did it go? Were you received well? Were you not received well? Okay, then you know what to do. You've already been given instructions. And that's, again, how we have to lead. And the evaluate is such an important part of this. And it can sometimes blend together or seem to blend together with process. And there's a bit more of an explanation of how those are separated in our book. It's really something that you ought to carry with you, not to shamelessly plug the book, but it's something that you should go back to often and say, am I doing this? Am I doing what they're saying to do? Because it's awkward. It's an awkward thing to say, I want my kid to fail.
Yeah. Right. And then with the final step, it's C for challenge again. So you go back through that. And I think it's important to remember, and you said this through the interview, that it's not going to happen overnight. It takes time and we've got to be patient and we've got to work it. And I love at the end of the book, you give challenges for the parents to implement at home. And they're really good challenges. And I found myself thinking through them, whether or not I could allow my 11-year-old son to, or just give him the opportunity to fix dinner and take care of everything. And I found myself chuckling at what might be the outcome, but it was a challenge for me to implement at home. So talk a little bit about that last section and challenging parents at home in utilizing the system.
Well, let me challenge you then, Ellen. Are you going to do it?
I am.
I want to verify this. Let me ask some questions here with you.
Okay, sure.
You're going to tell your 11-year-old son, I would like you to prepare dinner.
Right.
Saturday, or give him a week. Okay. And leave it at that.
Yes.
You know how to use the stove?
He does know how to use the stove.
Okay. And what do you think he's going to make?
I have no idea what he'll make, but I'll say, let's see, we'll walk through this. I'll say, you are fixing dinner, and here is the stove. You know where the pans are. You need to figure out what you're going to prepare and let me know what we need to pick up from the grocery store.
Okay. So
by when?
Can I suggest something for you?
Sure. Of course.
Okay. There's no need to tell him that he knows where the pans are, right? Unless he's going to cook it right on the top of the stove. And if he does, the only thing that you're there for is if a fire starts, you're going to stand by with a fire extinguisher, watching from afar and not saying anything. So you're going to prepare dinner. Great. I'd like it at 5:30. Is that okay with you? Or would you like it a little bit later? Great. Okay. Let me know if you need me to drive you to the store or anything, or I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, you know where the pans are. You know not to leave it on too long. You know that macaroni, the one that goes in the microwave, you have to put water in for it first. I mean, all of that is telling them how. So you don't want to tell them how. So if we were walking through this with a parent, just like you, we would say, step out of the how, right, and tell them when, like you want to have dinner, or give them some parameters. Listen, I'd like you to make dinner this weekend. Think about what you want to do, or lunch, or Saturday lunch. You've got, you know, $30 to make lunch for the family on Saturday. And I'm going to give you a challenge because I know that you can do it. I know that you can do this. And that's encouraging. Oh, my gosh. Like, why would I make dinner? I've never made dinner before, ever, you know? And something that we have a few minutes. I have a quick story about this that I'd love to share with you.
Okay. Oh, yeah, good. Yeah, good.
So one of the there's different factors, like, why where Daryl and I came up with how I'd like to mesh this together. And my experience as a young boy, I was an Eagle Scout. And I got my Eagle Scout award. You had to work very hard for it. My father was the scoutmaster of my troop and wouldn't sign off on anything until I proved that I did it. And so a lot of this comes from my experiences in Boy Scouts. But one in particular experience, and this kind of walks us through COPEC, he gave me a challenge. He said, okay, you're going to be in charge of the next campout. That's all the instruction that I got. You're in charge of the next campout. So my job was figure out how many people are going, call the campsite to reserve it, make sure all the tents are in working order, make sure we have enough food for everybody, permission slips, make sure that we have drivers and enough chaperones. I mean, everything that you could think of. But he didn't tell me, hey, you know where the camping gear is. You know, you have the phone number for the campsite. Make sure that you call. So let me tell you what happened. I failed miserably, right? I did. And honestly, probably one of the biggest learning experiences of my life. I had everybody else on point. Everybody else. I had, because I put people in charge. I delegated. I learned, right? I'm going to delegate, so I don't have to do anything. So the only thing I didn't put somebody in charge of was who was going to pack the trailer with the food. But everybody brought food, but nobody was assigned to pack the food. So we drive 3.5 hours to go camping. My dad says, when's dinner? Now, before we left, he says, you have everything. And I said, yeah. He goes, okay, let's go. Didn't blink, just said, get in the car. We got in the car, we drive out to this campsite. 3.5 hours away, he goes, what time is dinner? I said, should be around 6:30. You have your schedule. Like, I gave everybody a schedule. Here's what we're doing. He goes, okay. So we start unpacking the trailer, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. I left the food back at the church. I left the food back at the multipurpose room at the church. So I go over to him, and I said, Dad, I go, I screwed up. I said, I really screwed up. I go, he goes, what'd you do? I said, I left all the food. I left the food back at the church. I go, we gotta go somewhere to a grocery store. He goes, no, we don't. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I go, what are we gonna do? He says, and this it rings home with me, and I still use this because hey, he says, you told people dinner was gonna be at 6:30, so make it happen. Okay. So I mean, it's silence, right? Dead silence. Like, okay. I mean, my dad was a professional boxer. I didn't ask him things twice, you know. So I walk away from him. I get the other patrol leaders, because I was a senior troop leader. So get them all together. I said, what are we going to do? I said, what do you guys think we should do? One kid says, I guess we could go fishing, find some fish. This other kid says, we passed an orange grove on the way in here, right? This other kid, now they're all higher ranking Boy Scouts at the time. And this other kid says, well, I mean, there's some smaller palm trees over there. He's like, I know we can get hearts of palm out of. I said, well, let's do it, guys. I said, we all grabbed a hatchet. We went to the orange grove, got 3 days camping. No food. All we did is fish for food, eat oranges, and hearts of palm. That's it. Nobody died, right? And all the adults were furious at me and my dad because they're like, take him somewhere to buy food or we're leaving. My dad said, leave. If you want to leave, leave. Take your son and go. It's okay. I'm not going to hold it against you. He goes, I understand. Not everybody can learn this way. I mean, the nerve, right, of my father. Thank God, because I really learned a lesson. And that's kind of the process that we use for Adventure Catholic.
That's right. It's fantastic. And I can definitely relate to that. My oldest son is an Eagle Scout too. And I kept thinking about the similarities between the program itself and what the Boy Scouts taught him through his experience. So yes, for sure. So good job, Dad of Alan. So again, as you say, if you are to allow our teens to grow and become leaders, we must allow them to fail. Does this mean bringing up their failures regularly?
No, just basically at the moment of whatever it is they're doing of the challenge. You know, sometimes though we will, in the course of our training, we'll just kind of reference, hey, you know, three challenges ago just came up. How'd you deal with it? Or are you handling it the same way? But what happens? Part of it is our kids are realizing there's a difference between looking at their actions and then judging them. And we establish early on that that we're here to look at their actions and separate the two. So in that place, that's important with our kids at home because they take on so much more. And unfortunately, as parents, we put our garbage onto our kids at times unintentionally. And we have to be really intentional about separating what are they doing versus, oh, you know, hey, you got an A on your test. You're a good boy. No, you did well on your test. Or, oh, I'm really proud of you because you made me look good because you got an A. No, I'm proud of you because you worked hard and you got something. Or I'm proud of you because you worked hard and you still got a C, but I saw you study. So we need to be a little bit more aware of how we approach our own children. And then
they're calling themselves out on these failures.
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, I didn't do too good today at basketball. Well, did you try your best? Not really. I mean, I probably just had an off day. It happens, you know. That's a very different conversation than a parent saying, are you kidding me? I take my time to drive you to practice. And honest, I'll be honest with you, like, I've been there. My daughter was a very good basketball player when she played. And when she wouldn't do well, it's very tempting to say, what were you thinking? You know, and I have done that, you know. But then you catch yourself and you're like, all right, I screwed this one up. So we still fail as parents, even working this method, this COPEC method. We're going to fail. But it doesn't mean that we say, oh, throw the book in the fireplace and let's warm up the house. That's the only thing it's good for. No, it means you try again.
Right.
Keep trying.
Right, right. And a couple of quotes that I want to end with here that you had. Don't pretend that everything was great if it wasn't. Being honest with them is really imperative. And encouraging, recognizing their strengths and also recognizing your kids' weaknesses. No participation trophies. Only give them encouragement on their actual successful efforts, as well as encouraging their failures. Is there anything else that you would like to add before I close the interview? I'll mention your book again and also Adventure Catholic, where they can go to get some more information. But is there anything in closing that you want to add to the COPEC system itself or your experiences or words that you might want to leave for parents that are working through this?
Sure. The one thing that I would say is that this is an ongoing training. And, you know, I want to make sure the parents understand that we want to be there to encourage them. And one of the things that we do to encourage is we're able to come to these different parishes and we're able to do parent training and parish office, parish missions and training for different staff so that they can not just use it, but they can pass on this training method. This is Jesus's method. There is nothing about this that's Alan and Daryl. And so, you know, we have, can you guys sign a book and send it to us? We can, but I mean, unless I say inspired by Jesus underneath my name, it's worthless. I mean, this is all about the way that Jesus expects us to raise leaders, to raise other leaders, because it's not the Alan and Daryl show. It's not even the Daryl and Alan show. It's about raising teens to focus on God. You can do everything else right and teach them how to fail and all that stuff, but if they don't understand that this is their calling, this is what Jesus asks us to do.
It's who they are. It's the children of God. It's who they are.
We have kids going through this that bring other kids to church that have never been to church before. Yeah. Our youth group here at St. Mary Magdalene, we have a lot of kids that have never, ever never been to church before, they were invited by one of the kids that have gone through Adventure Catholic. That's powerful.
That is very
powerful. Since we started this, you know, when I got here at Youth Group, this is a testament. It went from, you know, we'd have our youth meetings, and then the kids would occasionally a kid would come and say, hey, you know, coach, can I bring a friend? Like, yeah. You know, and then, you know, then it turned into, hey, coach, can I bring a friend? But they're not Catholic. Okay, so bring them? Yes. And then it turned into, hey, I'm bringing a friend. And now it's, hey, I would show up and there's new faces. Then like, oh, by the way, this is my friend. You know, so it's, we've had this transformation, which we see in our parish, that they're just inviting. You know, Catholic, non-Catholic, whatever. Just come and hang out. This is the place to be.
What's really spectacular about what Daryl just said is that youth ministry is usually measured by numbers. How many people do you have showing up to your youth group? Well, great. But if you focus on numbers, then you forget about the personal growth of that child. And that's what Adventure Catholic is about, is fostering the personal growth in spiritual growth of that child. Once that happens, it doesn't stop. I mean, it starts growing and it just keeps growing, and they're excited about their faith. We're not saints. We make mistakes. But they know that they can be leaders, and that they're not afraid to call a friend out, and they bring in those kids here. Daryl does a great job of welcoming them, you know, and just saying, hey, we're going to meet you where you are. He's fantastic with that. So
that was a profound statement. Yes. Alan, just keep the process. Repetition is a memorable skill, and we've got to keep repeating. You know, this is not a weight loss. This is not a weight loss pill. This is repetition, repetition, repetition. So that's why it starts with challenge and ends with challenge. It's alpha and omega. Just keep moving. But, all right, that wasn't profound, but I'm going to end on that. That's all you.
Well, I was just going to say, it's such a profound way of walking with, which is what we're to do, right? Walk with the other and love and listen and encourage and plant seeds to be intentional disciples. It's such a beautiful ministry. Thank you so much to both of you, Alan and Daryl. And what a wonderful and sorely needed book and approach to raising our teens to become strong and courageous leaders of faith in the world. Again, it's Teaching Teens to Fail, the 5-Step Field Guide to Parenting Success by Alan Migliorato and Daryl Dezik, Adventure Catholic COPEC Training System. And for more information about Adventure Catholic, where can our listeners go? Actually, where can they go to buy the book? I guess that's the first question.
Ooh. The best place to go for contacting us, for disagreeing with us, which we love to hear, for buying the book or learning more about us, inviting us to your parish, go to adventurecatholic.com.
Okay.
That's the best place to get a hold of us. So you can get my book there. You can get our book there. Well, there's a couple of different things that, you know, really interesting shirts and stuff like that.
But. And go to Facebook, Adventure Catholic. Go like it. That way you can subscribe. That way you can get the latest updates. Hit. You know, we have impromptu interviews we do. Little tidbits come out. So you can follow us there and kind of watch what's happening. And we just have fun and interact. We want to talk to you guys. So,
yeah.
You know, we want you to leave comments on some of the things we do so we can comment back and have a great conversation.
And okay. AdventureCatholic.com has a blog that we both write, too. Yeah. So AdventureCatholic.com is the place to be.
Okay, AdventureCatholic.com and also on Facebook at Adventure Catholic. Okay, guys, thank you so much. And thanks for listening to our listeners, and God bless.